To him, and we're really grateful on behalf of Laura, his sister, for you to come today. I wanted to welcome you to the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, one of the elder pastors here, and I'd like to ask Fred Schwertfrieg, or another elder pastor, to come up with an opening prayer then.
Greeting to family and friends of Ed Rose from Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, and I am honored to be able to open with prayer. I have a verse. This is from Colossians 3:17, and it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him," the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever Ed did to me was always sort of more in word, because we'd hear him, his gentle voice coming through our Zoom channel that we have on Wednesday nights, and he would always pray so carefully and for his family and his friends, and so some great fond memories of Ed Rose. Father, we bless the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can give honor to God in the Father through Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. And we know we are all under the penalty of sin, and only through the acts of the Lord Jesus dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary and rising again, our trust in him, we have eternal life. We are so grateful to know that Ed Rose, our brother Ed Rose, is enjoying the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus in his presence today. We thank you for his deep faith. We know, like all of us, as he's had struggles in life, and in the end, health matters. And so we thank you for Lord Jesus for being there near to him through these last years. God bless the family and the ones he continued to pray for, his sister here, Laura, and I remember him always mentioning his nephew, Santiago, and some family in Kalamazoo and Sophia. Yeah. And so we want to continue to pray for them and their lives as they go on without Ed Rose on this planet with us. Thank you for the fellowship that Ed was able to enjoy through the Bible study with the Giannini's, Ray Giannini, and over the years. And what a great gathering of friends that are here with him today. We do thank you for our assembly, that he could be connected to us. And so now we rejoice that he's safely home, and we pray for our journey there as well. And we give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
When we were at the study, many times we would sing before we began, and this is one of Ed's favorite songs, Victory in Jesus. I'd invite you to turn up number 544 in the blue hymnals, which are underneath your pews or in front of you. I'd invite Dan Keller to come up also. Yeah, 544, Victory in Jesus.
Just wanted to make a note that the week before Ed went into glory, I was visiting him. And during our visit, he spontaneously started singing this hymn, the chorus. And so it's very special. And I was able to sing this with Ed. Now we can sing today. So, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
It has true victory.
I've asked Laura to give the eulogy, and I'd like to have her come up now.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for being here for my brother. I'm very grateful to see so many faces of love and care, and it gives me strength to talk. I'm not a very good speaker, so bear with me. If you close your eyes and listen, you'll hear his deep, calming voice in song, in conversation, Zoom calls, or over his beloved ham radio evenings. We all knew it so well. His voice had a special resonance to it, wise, calming, faithful, and so reliable. He sang in church choir and sang around his apartment, or hummed endearingly when he was reading or just moving around in life, one of his many gifts. My big brother, Edward Allen Rose, Jr., was born in Swartz Creek, Michigan, which in the early 60s was more of a small town than anything, just outside of Flint. As a kid, he raised the requisite litters of country kittens and ate many a stalk of fresh garden rhubarb with a cup of sugar for dipping in one hand. He also set a field on fire accidentally, which I remember most from those years, along with the tornado that came through the backyard of our little house. Big cities have nothing on small towns, for sure. After a time, we moved to the Upper Peninsula, where our dad went to graduate school in Marquette, Michigan. Those were some of the happiest years of Ed's life. He loved to build huge forts in the woods with the other kids who lived in our student housing complex at NMU. He and I also had a running competition to see who could collect the most acorns from the big oak trees. Sadly, that was put to a halt when my mother saw the avalanche of giant paper bags in our bedroom closets, and that competition was considered a draw. The Soo Line train tracks ran close by the apartments, and Ed would put pennies on the tracks and wait for the big locomotives to come lumbering by so he could flatten them on their way into the nearby yard, until an engineer told him that a locomotive would blow up if a penny got sucked up into the engine. So that put an end to that. But it did light the fires of a lifelong love of trains for Ed. Being kids next to Northern Michigan University was wonderful. There were always campus activities going on and space to have fun at the practice football field across the street. I remember Ed flying a puffer kite so high that we couldn't even see it after a while. He also built his own first remote control airplane, the beginnings of another lifelong love, aviation, and flew it around. We played games of kick the can with all the kids we knew, and he was a great save the day can kicker as he ran so fast. It was a great place to be a kid, thundering around all the time when not in school over the summer, or sitting on heater vents in the winter with blankets waiting for snow days, which almost never happened up in Marquette. Our mother took us up to Sugarloaf Mountain to pick wild blueberries. And after those regular snowstorms, we would get out our snowshoes, the old ones that were about 4 feet long, but gave you the magical ability to float over areas of deep, untouched forest snow, which Ed loved. He said those were his favorite memories, and I share with you that it's in Marquette, where our family will scatter his ashes later this spring or summer. Green Bay beckoned to our father after grad school, and we moved there during Ed's middle school junior high years. He made new friends and started to get seriously involved with electronics and learning how things worked. I wouldn't see him for a few days after his popular mechanics magazine arrived. He spent a great deal of time building things, taking things apart, tinkering with things, and teaching himself how to fix everything, as most of you know. He was such an intelligent person from a very young age. Although when he took apart my dad's 1970s Harley-Davidson engine, my father used a very different adjective to describe that particular achievement. He was fascinated by the earliest news of technology, which turned into yet another passionate hobby that was to be a part of his life until his last days. Those Green Bay years were also transition years to teenagers, the beginning of a difficult, introspective, and often rebellious period of his life. We moved again, this time to Wauwatosa, where after brief stints on his own in the southern U.S., he put down roots here that were to grow deep for the rest of his life. Our parents divorced, which was extremely hard on both of us, but more so on Ed. It contributed greatly to him spending years searching to understand who he was as a person and what he wanted out of life. He got his GED and eventually his bachelor's degree from Concordia College. Ham radio, also known as amateur radio, became a staple of his life. Farmer Ed, call sign N9EIO, which may ring a bell with some of us, spent many an evening participating with his radio friends, and it enriched his life deeply. If you want to learn more, look around for his dear friend, Karen Burris, who will hook you up. Ed got his pilot's license and eventually bought his own plane, which brought him such incredible joy. It always seemed like such a wonderful full circle thing to me after those airplanes that he built in Marquette. If you look for his YouTube channel, he still has videos posted of some of his flights around Timmerman in the Wisconsin area. There used to be a spectacular one of him flying around the Chicago skyline when Meigs Field was still right downtown, but he felt after September 11th that would probably be yanked off YouTube, so he took it down anyway. But the channel will remain. So if you want to watch some of his videos and hear that beautiful voice, he does gardening videos. He does trips around Tosa, a couple of trips to San Francisco. So I will never take that video channel down. Ed was truly a gifted and knowledgeable gardener, to say the least. So please enjoy those videos if you can. Excuse me. Ed was also involved with the Civil Air Patrol for many years as well. And I'd like to take a moment to read a letter that I received from his Civil Air Patrol friend, Paul DeCorson, first lieutenant. That whole group meant so much to Ed. Second Lieutenant Edward Rose, CAPID 601526, was a member in good standing of the 10th Senior Support Squadron, WI-086, based at Milwaukee's Timmerman Airport. He joined the squadron on July 24th, 2017. I received his application 2 weeks prior to July 24th when Ed hand-delivered it to me in my driveway on a beautiful summer day with aircraft flying overhead. We talked for maybe an hour about his experiences in aviation, the fact that he had a private pilot's license and that he had owned his own aircraft at one time. He took time to look up and identify each aircraft flying over and whether or not he had ever flown that particular make and model. It was evident that Ed had a passion for aviation and wanted to be a part of an organization that could help him keep that passion alive and that offered the purpose and camaraderie of an all-volunteer aviation-centric membership. From that day forward, Ed remained engaged with the squadron. He was often the first to respond yes to meeting invites and was apologetic when he couldn't attend. He often volunteered for the work details that are a part of keeping aircraft in a hangar in good condition. He had a gentle, unassuming nature that indicated his professional and selfless approach to being part of a team. We will miss and remember Second Lieutenant Edward A. Rose for being a dedicated member of our squadron and the aviation community at large. We are saddened to know that he has passed, but we trust that he is soaring above us and continues to live his passion in clear blue skies. First Lieutenant Paul DeCorson. Thank you, Paul. Our dad unexpectedly died of a heart attack back in 1995 when he was 53, and it really brought Ed and I closer together, as our mother had long ago detached from our family. We've both done a lot of hard work to understand loss and the complexities of family. He was there when my husband Joe died, and he was there when I gave birth to my children, his niece and nephew, Sophia and Santiago, whom he loved quietly and so dearly. He has been my best friend for as long as I can remember. And I'm grateful to God for the years of memories we've shared. Since losing him, I understand the truth that your siblings are your longest relationships. They span your life and are to be nurtured and absolutely treasured. I know when Ed found his faith and began that journey long ago, it opened up a world of support, friendship, and community that he has cherished for years. It's why we are in this particular chapel today and why so many of you are here or watching. You shared life's joys and life's troubles with him and he with you. I'm grateful to everyone who loved him, spent time with him, helped him, and was there for him, especially in those last months of his life. He was a very private man, as we all know, and his relationships with people whom he trusted as friends were very deep. Ed was never anyone, it was never anything but humble, and his kind and authentic self, and tall, strong, with those handsome Paul Newman blue eyes. At his core, Ed was grateful for his time here on Earth, and he had the soul of a gardener, someone who tends and someone who nurtures. He understood change and the beautiful seasons of nature and of life. There are lessons from God in each of them as to how to live, and he did. He was ready to be with our Heavenly Father again, knowing his time here was well spent and his pain would be left behind to disappear into the infinite mysteries of being a human being. Whatever lovely memories he gifted you with, plant them and let them grow into something meaningful. Heal relationships, breathe deep of the cool, clear air, spend time together, and learn from solitude. Find your faith and embrace it. It's what he would want. Sending you off with love, Ed. Laura. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. I'd like to have Nate Appleton come up and read a verse from the Gospel of John.
Gospel of John, chapter 5, reading from verse 24, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
We have four friends of Ed that were really desirous of doing an a cappella song, and that song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'd invite you to listen and follow along. Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. My name is Ray Giannini. I am one of the elder pastors here at Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. Welcome again. It's a real honor to do this message on behalf of Ed. Like a lot of you, I knew Ed for about 20 years, and I'm glad that I knew him. I first met Ed at our Friday night Bible study at a home I owned about six blocks from here, and the first time I saw him, he was in my kitchen. We would serve food after the study. And Ed was a big guy. He's probably 6'1", maybe 220 at the time. And I remember I said hello and he reached out his hand for me to shake. But before I could shake it, he pulled it away and he went like this. And I thought, this is a guy I can get along with. One of those old 90s gags, but I fell for it. You know, I was Ed, you know. He would come to the study until about 10, and then he would be dressed in his blue Midwest Express uniform, and he'd have to go to the airport to work on jet engines. He was a jet engine mechanic. And like Laura said, this guy could fix anything, aircraft engines, small engine props, cars, small engines, even worked on helicopters for a while. He was also a pilot, as Laura had mentioned. He had multiple certifications. I think when he stopped his pilot's license, pursuit of the license, different certifications, I think he was rated for multi-engine commercial prop jets. So he could have earned a living doing that. That's how high up he was. And he was into all sorts of things. As you mentioned, he operated a ham radio, he gardened, he biked a lot, he swam, he fixed computers. He knew a lot about the latest technology. He helped quite a few people in our study with their computer problems. He always had a good way of explaining things very simply and such. That was Ed. He could do a lot of jobs too. He delivered Chinese food for a place on Highway 100. Yeah. You know, it's a funny story with Ed. You know, he was, like I said, he was a big guy. One time he was delivering Chinese food and these four guys were going to rob him. And it took four guys to do that. He was so big. I was wrestling. I used to think, you know, why are you delivering Chinese food if you got to go through that? But that was Ed. He loved to get out and work. He worked at the Y. He was a lifeguard. He was a handyman. And that was Ed, jack of all trades, master of some, more than you might think, actually. Ed also loved the Lord. He got saved sometime in the 90s, and he was always receptive to hearing about the Lord Jesus as Savior. His journey to being born again is very much like a lot of us. You know, even though I can't go into too many details about his testimony, it was very moving. You know, Ed felt maybe what a lot of us have felt on our journey to becoming born again. There were seeds of dissatisfaction in his life. There was this feeling, as he explained to me, that there was something greater spiritually that was out there. He didn't know quite what it was. You know, the Bible tells us that there are two pieces of evidence that will lead us on our journey toward the Lord. One is nature, which, of course, he loved, and one is conscience. And following that evidence, the Bible says, will ultimately lead you to, at some point, hearing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, placing your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ for your salvation. And Ed became born again to eternal life in the Lord Jesus when he by faith received the Lord Jesus into his heart as a Savior. About his appetite, this is world-renowned here. Over the years, Ed would attend the study and other events we planned, such as get together at Jim Jones's house, he's here somewhere, for the 4th of July, for Labor Day and such, and so we'd have a big spread. And Ed could put away food unlike anybody. He could eat more chicken than a man has ever seen. He could eat hot dogs. He could make food, but he also enjoyed food. And we enjoyed watching him enjoy himself with food. That was Ed, you know. One great thing about Ed is he helped a lot of folks along his life's journey. Even this week, I heard about something that he had done for someone. It was always hearing afterwards, but he was handy. He could just do everything. If you wanted to find a good, reliable used car, you talked to Ed. You wanted to find a decent computer, used computer, you talked to Ed. He was just that way. When Ed told us about his liver cancer diagnosis, maybe about a year and a half ago, we used to joke with Ed that he didn't even look like he had liver cancer. The guy was still biking and all this energy, he was always doing things. He didn't even lose any weight. And we had that kind of relation with him. We could joke about him. He would tell us about all the treatments he was undergoing. He even went through some experimental treatments for liver cancer, including where they would inject radioactive beads right into the liver and such. He was a man who was interested in trying things and preserving his life as long as possible. The thing about Ed is that it was only until the last 5 or 6 weeks that you actually saw this cancer advanced to the point where he looked like a cancer survivor. But the reason I bring this up is because he had incredible composure during that time of his cancer treatments and such. I've never seen anything like that. He would describe in detail what was happening. He he didn't hide the fact that he had cancer. And, you know, if you think about technology and all that he knew, you think about Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple. Jobs was kind of a chubby guy and such, and then he had the same type of cancer that Ed did, but he hid it from people. Ed was not like that. He didn't hide the fact that he had cancer. He would talk about it. It was a process of life. And one of the most moving things I ever remember about his composure was that at one point we were on the study, it was Zoom at the time, and he had received an MRI report. And this is the only time I actually saw him buckle a little bit. He said, you know, I read the first page and the second. He goes, I just couldn't continue because of all that was in there. And then he composed himself and he went into the study and we continued going. He was just a remarkable guy. We went to visit him toward the end in the hospice unit, and he was just himself. You know, we talked about eternity and about death. We talked about all sorts of things. Ed was always open to talking about things in detail. That was him. It was an open book. You know, the Bible says that just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, and so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. And thankfully, Ed knew this. It was Christ that made the painful aspects of cancer bearable for him. Why? Because he knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. He knew that this life was not the end point. It was a door that opens up to eternal life for him. So the question is, do you know him today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Ed did. And if you know yourself as a sinner and you want relief from those sins, if you want the burden of sin rolled off of your shoulders, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has open arms, nail-pierced open arms, ready to receive you. The Lord took that on himself for us. Sin can destroy lives, but Jesus puts lives back together again. Just as Ed could fix many mechanical things in a much greater way, Jesus is the master fixer. He created the world and everything in it. He can fix broken and misshapen souls. That's what he does. And he can fix your life too. The thing that makes Jesus so fitted for us is that as a man, he lived on this planet for 33 years. He knew what it was like to be submissive to parents or to do hard labor and to walk the streets and roads of this earth. He knew what it was like to be pushed around, to suffer for things he did not do, and to cry out to God for help in overwhelming times. Psalm 23 reminds us that the Lord is always with those who know him. They are led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and they are promised that surely mercy and goodness shall follow them all the days of their life, and they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ed was not perfect. He had his struggles like all of us. He knew he could be forgiven by the one who saved him. But Ed would ask you today, if you see yourself as a sinner, and if so, like Ed, then you need Jesus. That's what he would be saying. And the Bible says that all judgment has been placed in Jesus' hands, and one day we will meet him. And the question is, do you know him? Because if you don't know him, you'll have to pay for your sins alone, and no one has that kind of money. In fact, the Bible asks this question, what benefits you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? Death has a way of focusing us on the important things in life. Ed had many things. He had access to many things. But he was a practical man as he was taking steps toward, you know, putting his life, the end part of his life together. He had given away his tools. He had talked to people. He had made plans. But he was celebrating the fact that he would be with his Lord, his Savior. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, just like that. We're celebrating Ed's absence from this world and a sure presence with the Lord in heaven. He will no longer suffer here or feel pain or anxiety or loss. What he sees now is Jesus in all his glory. He is able to do that because of Jesus' work on the cross on behalf of sinners. And the Bible tells us, as we sang before, what a friend we have in Jesus. You can know him by placing your faith in Jesus, for the Bible says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, I shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you look on the order of service we gave out, you'll remember the Bible verse that our brother Nate gave. And to state it once again, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus saying this. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Isn't that wonderful? Ed discovered that death was not the final door for him. It was the door that led him into the presence of Christ Jesus. That's why we have these flowers here, this wonderful picture of him. We're celebrating Ed today. Please think about these things today, because the question remains, do you know him? God bless you all. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We're so grateful, Lord, for this time of remembrance. It's short, but his memory lives on in our hearts. We give you thanks for each and every one that has come here today. Bless us as we continue in our time together here in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a time of sharing now. I've picked a couple of individuals. There could have been many more. I'd like to ask Joe Schills to come up and say a few words about our brother Ed.
I thought I'd be a little more close. My name is Joe Schills, friend of Ed's. Ed and I met here at the chapel, Friday night Bible study. And I remember he had a toothpick in his mouth and a pen on his collar, which I learned were typical accessories that Ed always had on him. As people said, his sister mentioned, he had a lot of different interests. Him and I would work on whatever car he had at the time, as he would always find a good deal. No sooner would we fix it up and get it running right, then he would sell it because he either found a good deal on some other car and or he would sell it to have money to spend on things like ham radio equipment or computers. Ed loved to talk, socialize on the ham radio. I am not a ham radio person, but I'm sure there are people out there that know and could recognize his low voice coming across the airways, but not even know what he looks like, but recognize him by just his voice. Ed also liked to tinker with computers. I built two computers with Ed. He was always changing processors or graphics cards or adding more memory to get a quick and more responsive computer that worked well. Ed loved aviation and flying. He knew a lot of people at the local airports, and he also worked at them, as some of them as well. I recall him flying a plane out of Timmerman that was number WF-142, or in aviation terms, it was Whiskey Fox 172. I remember one excursion where we were flying and Ed requested a touch and go at Mitchell Field. His initial request was denied. Then he came back on the radio with his low voice and he was like, "This is Whiskey Fox 172. Are you sure we can't do a touch and go? This is Whiskey Fox 172 requesting a touch and go, please." And then there was radio silence for, it seemed like forever. And then the tower came across and said, "Permission granted 172. And we were able to do a touch and go. So I know, it's just things like that where Ed's voice just sticks in your head. Ed also liked transportation with two wheels. It was partially because of Ed that I got a motorcycle, and him and I would just ride out in the country and wherever, just for a cruise. He also liked biking, and we would mountain bike along the river here through Hoyt Park and Hart Park. And as mentioned, he also liked working out at the Y, or at least that's what he said he was doing. I think there was probably a little bit of that, but more so, I think it was to socialize and talk. Ed could strike up a conversation with pretty much anyone, and he enjoyed doing that, whether it was working out or on the ham radio, or a church, or just out and about. If there's something Ed really liked, it was food. Whether it was working at a restaurant or eating at a restaurant, he liked his food and he had a good appetite. And I'd have to say he always got his money's worth when we went to a buffet. There were a number of years where I would take him to Prime Quarter for his birthday. And part of the deal at Prime Quarter was you had to eat a mammoth steak, a baked potato, Texas toast, a salad, and he had to do it in a certain amount of time. Well, Ed polished it off in half the time. Then he had an extra potato, two more slices of toast, some dessert, and then coffee on top of that. So for his efforts, he would get a medal. And with that medal, you could either keep it, or what we would do is we'd go on the next year and you could turn it in and you could do it all over again. So that's what we would do. And he would try to beat his record from the previous year and eat it faster. And I think he's part of the reason why Prime Quarter is probably no longer at that location. He would sometimes come to the men's Tuesday night study at my parents' house. And sometimes he would come early for dinner. And the first time he came for dinner was a shock to my mom, because he loaded up his plate with food and then he grabbed this brand new jar of applesauce. And he proceeded to dump like 3/4 of the jar on his plate and then put it back down. And I was like, you sure you don't want any more applesauce? To which he was like, oh, maybe later I'll have some. So when he was done cleaning his plate, he had asked my mom if she had any dessert. And hey, Joyce, do you have any dessert? Maybe some coffee? Which my mom wasn't ready for, because he had eaten like just about everything that was there. But after that point, she always had some dessert and coffee at the ready for him. As I thought about the interactions that I had with Ed, whether it was at church or studies or out and about, I realized that no matter where we were or why we were there, the conversation was always sprinkled with things about the Lord. As we talked about our struggles and successes, it would come up repeatedly how much the Lord cares for us, how much the Lord forgives us, and how much the Lord loves us. I thank the Lord for a friend like Ed that loved Jesus and loved to talk about him.
Thank you, Joe. Mike Herbst.
Some of this, what I'm about to say, is basically a repeat of what Laura, you have said, Ray, and Joel. So pardon my the repeatedness of this, okay? My condolences, first of all, Laura. And I want to thank you all for being here. I think Ed would really be pleased with all who showed up for and to honor him. So, yeah. I actually give pastors a lot of credit for doing this every week, too, because it looks so simple to put on this, but the research that's involved in a sermon, it's really not that simple and easy to do what they do every week. And, you know, Pastor is, so me and Ed, we go back a long way, 1996. I came to the Wauwatosa area to live and checking out churches. And I actually had another church earmarked for where I was going to go. But I thought, why don't I try, you know, Calvary, now Honey Creek Church? Just, you know, it was basically a formality for me to attend, just to check one time through the church. And then I met Ed there and other nice people. And it just felt like such a family there. And it still does, too, by the way, there at Honey Creek. So I just thought, you know, this is where God wants me to be at that church. So, yeah, but sometimes what as a formality as well, no, it doesn't always work out that way. In this life, we have very few friends. I mean, you do have friends that are casual or, you know, you're through church or work or whatever that, you know, you get along with and talk with and stuff. But Ed was one of the best friends I'll ever have in my life. We were great accountability partners to each other in so many ways. You know, I've got two brothers and I'm taking this as bad as I lose one of my own brothers. He was a brother to me in so many ways. We're like, you know, Jonathan and David, the timing of God. If you get our daily bread, which we do at my church, and I think you do too here, it's yesterday's was a deep friendship in Christ, February 2nd, the timing of God, how this would work out. And so you think, and I was going to mention this without even reading this about our Jonathan and David friendship. So it didn't even take this booklet for me to bring this up. So, but he was just a dear friend in so many ways, an accountability friend. And man, we could just tell each other anything. I for him, him for me. Yeah, it's just, yeah, he was a blessing to me in so many ways in my life. On the computer, I'm so inept on the computer, it ain't funny. You know, I didn't grow up with computers, but you know, but although his computer knowledge was self-made, I don't think he learned it so much as a, you know, in a school situation, but just on his own. You know, he did my taxes yearly for several years. Home maintenance that he did, you know, mowing the lawns, plowing the snow in the winter. He loved gardening. Oh, he had a green thumb on him. He repaired his own vehicles. I mean, he would drive older vehicles. I'd do the same thing if I had that capability to drive older vehicles and fix on them myself if I could, but you know, that ain't me. There's just many talents that he had that a lot of people wouldn't have known anything about. Him swimming, a 10-speed biker as well, is another aspects of him. At first, I was going to eliminate the spiel about what I'm about to tell you, but the song Victory in Jesus and what Joel said about Victory, I'm going to add this in with this, okay, which I thought I would omit, okay. We at a time like this, we think about the Easter story of Jesus, you know, dying for us on the cross and how the brutality had to take for us. But there's also another sub story within this, as we all know about, that actually has brought me to tears at times. And that is when he was at the cross with the two thieves. You know, now this is in Luke, the end of Luke, about how one criminal said, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminals rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, "Once you are under the same, you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise." You know, the criminal had a repentant heart, and you know, and I know that, yeah, as you had said about Ed's repentant heart for his life, you know, all the mistakes that he ever made, what we make in our lives too, that he had that repentance. And you know, he even told me in so many words that he felt that his relationship with God was even closer because of his illness at the end. And I believe that. How could anybody not, who doesn't know the Lord, would feel that way? That, you know, if in life, you know, we at the end of our lives, we think to ourselves, you know, did we ever make a difference in anybody's life? He did for me. He made a big difference in my life in so many ways. You know, for the Christian, this isn't, we're not saying goodbye to Ed. We're saying, see you later, Ed. That we will meet again, Ed, in heaven. I know we will. And you know what? Through this, I've gained an adoptive sister in Laura because of this. That, you know, we'll always be in communication now, Laura, with each other. I just know that we will. But Ed was a good guy, and I will miss him dearly. But yeah, what a difference, again, he made in my life to have known him. Yeah. No
problem. If Patty Schiller, anybody like to come up?
Ed and I were friends for over 20 years, and we had many times of laughter, fun, and joy. There was a time that four of us went out to 31 Flavors, and it was like a kid in a candy store, and we just laughed and giggled, and we had someone take a picture of us, and Al and Hope and Ed and I were there, and it was separate from going to the chapel. It just, it was getting to know one another, and he and I there was one time my car broke down and he came all the way from Wauwatosa to Waukesha and took me to the bank because I had to go to the bank. And he was so willing to just give up everything and go to wherever anybody needed help. There's a man about 2 years prior to his death that was, his wife had died, and Ed so willingly helped him. And he would do that. He would just take the shirt off of his back to help anybody. And I had many dinners at my house, and one particular dinner, he said, "Patty, we're going to go to a Christian sing-along." And I said, "Oh, okay." And we ended up going to the amphitheater down in Milwaukee, and there are several different singers there. And Danny Gokey, that was the first time I heard him through American Idol, but that was the first time being at a concert where he was singing. And I said, "Oh, this is kind of Rocky Roll-ish," and, you know, and, but he loved music, and I loved hearing his tenor voice at the chapel here. I heard it. And the one thing that, when I think about music, I think that each of us is a musical note, and someday we're going to play beautifully for our Lord and Savior. And one of the songs that I hum right now to kind of heal my heart is by Michael W. Smith, and it says, "Friends are friends forever, and a friend will not say never. And it's hard to let you go in the Father's hands, we know. And a lifetime's not too long to live as friends." And I hummed that throughout the day, thinking about him. And there's just so many things that he did and we did together. And I shouldn't forget to say that Susan gave him his first Bible, and he used that Bible throughout his life, and it helped him to grow and mature into the man he would become. And I thank you for listening.
One final voice we'd like to hear, and that is Margot Valerie. She is not able to be here today because of some physical issues that she has, but I wrote down, she dictated what she wanted to say to me. So Margot Valerie says this: "I first met Ed at the Wauwatosa Bible Friday night study. Ed was a very unique and special creation of the Almighty God. I was drawn to him immediately upon our first meeting by his smile, his warmth and inviting personality, and his ability to want to be conversant with everyone. I would like to share a few examples of the fun and memorable times with Ed. The first one is a Friday night study time where he and Jim Jones and I were sitting together, and Ed made one of his funny faces. I call it the squirrel face. And it was a serious moment when Ray was teaching, but Ed had a rubber face, and I took one look and started to laugh. And not because he wasn't laughing at his being funny, but it just became infectious and we were all laughing. Then Ray asked why we were laughing. And I thought it was all Ed's fault. Jim then blew out a huge laughing sigh that was unheard of for him. In keeping with memories at the Bible study, people would bring snacks. We never had to worry about leftovers because Ed was there, appetite and all. I used to bring my son, Ben, to the study. He was 12, and Ed was really good with kids. My son really enjoyed talking with Ed about many things, including the study. And from there, Ed and I became friends on a more personal level, including coming over to my house for times of hanging out. Ed was extremely gifted and talented in so many ways, including when I had an emergency with a burst pipe, and Ed came over immediately to help find the shutoff valve. The pipe sprayed and froze into an ice igloo, and he came over, dropped everything to help me finding the shutoff valve, and we were very grateful to him. Another time, Ed came up with a brilliant plumbing solution that was created efficiently and saved me a lot of money. The solution was so creative, and not because we saw it in a do-it-yourself video. It was all Ed. Ed and I cooked together, and he was a great gardener. Finally, Ed was a great testimony to us all from the time of his diagnosis for liver cancer to his final Friday night study with us. He endured much discomfort with a very determined spirit. Being a cancer survivor myself, he impressed me with his faith in the Lord and also his tenacity to live a quality life and enjoy God's creation, despite the diagnosis at the very end. There are so many other recollections from our 12-year friendship that would take up pages and pages. In closing, I wanted to say I will miss Ed greatly on this earthly realm, but I know I will see him again in eternity, and I know he will be smiling and singing hymns to our Lord. My deepest sympathies to his family, and especially Laura, who traveled such a long way to be with her brother. Ed talked about her so much and loved their close relationship. She was such a comfort to him. Well, in closing, we'd just like to sing a song called In Christ Alone, hymn book number one, if you would. Before we do that, I just wanted to mention we have lunch downstairs. We have two exits here that will bring you downstairs. Also, Ed wanted to just mention, if you have a donation, you could make it to the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel or the Arbor Day Foundation. He was a longtime supporter and a supporter of their efforts to plant trees, which dearly was loved by Ed. In Christ Alone, number one.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no schemes of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that our brother Ed is home safe with you, Lord Jesus, and you are his Savior, the one who saved him. He had trusted in you as his Lord and Savior, the one who died for his sins and rose again. And we know that this is not the end for Ed. He is face to face with you, Lord Jesus, and someday his body will rise again, because your word says, because you live, we also will live. And Ed found his hope and his strength in you, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for the gift of letting us all know him while he was here, the encouragement that he was to all of us. I was very touched by how he would pray for others, even in the midst of his trial. He prayed for me and my family. And Lord, I just thank you that he's home now with you and you're taking care of him. And we pray for Laura, for all his friends and family that are grieving. And we just pray you bless our time downstairs now. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the time of fellowship that we'll share in memory of Ed. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.